Man, that's something that we need to do. The Bible says we are entering to his gates with thanksgiving. The Bible says in latter days that neither were they thankful. God wants us to be thankful for what he did. As we preach upon the grace of God this morning, man, I tell you what, every time we walk into the house of God, we ought to be thankful to God for his grace. Amen. And what the grace has done for us. Look in verse 9. He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Not only was Paul thankful for the Roman Christians, but he was also committed to them. Even though he didn't know them personally, he was committed to them to want to see the fact that and want to see them prosper. And let me say this. Christians that are not thankful does not go very far with God. Neither are Christians that are not committed. We need people committed to matters with God. Amen? We need faithful people. We don't need to have to ask and beg people to come to the house of God. Amen. That are members of the church. Amen. They ought to be faithful. Now on that, look in verse number 10. Also, he says, making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. I'm going to come back to that verse in a moment. But I want you to note the fact that he was surrendered to the cause of coming to them. He wanted to be able to journey to see them. Now, I'll come back to that verse. That's the verse I'm going to preach on in a moment. Verse number 11, he says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established." In other words, he wanted to be a part, and he wanted to be able to give them and be used of God to be a blessing to them and to be able to help them. And you know, we, as God's people, as Christians, we ought to want that God would use us, that we might help somebody else and use the gifts that God has given us to impart them to someone else and to share with them the gifts that God has given us. Know that, look on, if you would, in verse 12. "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." In other words, Paul was humble. He didn't think that he was the only one. He said, "I want to be a blessing to you, and you're going to be a blessing to me." It works both ways. And you know, I'm thankful, and sometimes we have missionaries come through here, and they'll call me back and say, "Boy, what a blessing you were." I said, "Well, you don't understand. You were a blessing to me. I got a blessing the same way you got a blessing. You just got a different blessing than what I did." And so that's the way we ought to do. We ought to want to be a blessing to those. That's what I try to share with you when we have missionaries and other people come through that has needs. Always learn and pray to God that you could be a blessing to the people that we run into. Because as we sung several of those songs, we don't know when our journey is going to end here. We don't know when the Son of God is going to part the sky and shout and call us forward. But anyway, look if you would in verse 13. He said, "Now I would not have you to be ignorant that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Now, the word I want you to pick up out of that verse is fruit. Amen. We ought to want to be fruitful. Amen. We ought to want to have fruit. And so therefore, we want to, when we get up to heaven, we don't want to stand there and be empty-handed. We don't want to sit there and be saved yet so by fire and have our works burnt. We want some fruit to be to our account. Amen? Now on that, verse 14, he said, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." Now here, he realized a debt that he owed unto God. He never forgot what God had done for him. Therefore, he knew the debt that he owed God. We as Christians need to remember the debt. We were bought with a price. We owe God everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we're going to have. It's all to him. He's responsible for it all. And so therefore, as Christians, as Paul, we need to remember and always remember that we are debtors unto God. Amen. Not only that, look in verse 15. So as much as in me I am ready to preach the gospel to you, there in Rome also. In other words, we need to be ready. Be instant in season, out of season. Always be ready to preach the word of God, to share the word of God. And listen, you don't have to be a God-called preacher to be able to share the gospel.
Amen.
I remember one time, 38 years ago or so, Chris may have a better memory of the exact years, but I think it's about 38 years ago, I was put in the hospital for 7 weeks in traction. I messed my back up and I had to lay in traction for 7 weeks. I wasn't used to laying on my back, but I had to lay there in traction, pulling different ways. And someone had told her that I'd never be able to lift 50 pounds again the rest of my life. And that proved to be wrong. But I couldn't understand because I just surrendered to preach when that come into my life. And I couldn't understand what God was doing laying me on my back when he just called me to preach and I had so much I wanted to do. Until, as I laid there for those weeks, people would come. I was in a room with two beds. Then all of a sudden this one man come. He was about in his late 30s or 40s. And we began to talk, and he was there for several days in traction like me. But he didn't have to be but for a few days. And so over the course of a couple of days, as I talked to him about the Lord, he was saved. And then I realized that the whole effort of what God did was worth it. God's ways are not always our ways. But you need to be ready. Ready to share the gospel. Ready to share the word of God. Not only that, but verse 16, and then we're going to go back to verse number 10. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word I want to pick up there is we don't need to be ashamed of who we are, what we preach, where we stand. We need to be willing to stand on truth and not worry about it. You say, well, they will reject it. People don't like that kind of preaching. They don't like the narrowness of what the Word of God teaches. The Bible tells us to preach the Word. And they'll just have to deal with it as they can. But don't ever be ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Amen? Now look back, if you would, in verse number 10 and notice with me a moment. Paul here, he prays that God will give him a prosperous journey. What is a prosperous journey? What would you consider a prosperous journey? Well, most people say, well, one that's full of comforts and pleasant. Man, we pray to God and we ask him for something. And, oh, God, if it's your will, let me do this. And we go and sometimes we go and something happens. I remember one time I went to the mission field. And I went to Costa Rica and met a missionary. And I was supposed to be all week long down in Panama. And we got stopped at the border. And he couldn't go. And I had to go for about 16 hours on down into Panama, in the southern part of Panama, preach to people with a language I never knew. Didn't know anybody there, never had been, didn't know anything about where I was going. And I called Chris and I told her, I said, the missionary that was going to take me down there got stopped at the border and he wanted to know if I wanted to go on down and preach the meeting. And so I told him I would. And she said, are you crazy? I said, no. I said, I want to go down there and preach. And so I went down there and I was able to preach during that week, and what a blessing it was. Saw 139 souls saved. I got to baptize 36 of them in the San Felix River. But then there was also a pastor that was there from northern Panama that had I went with a missionary, I would never got to go to his church. And he asked me to come up and preach at his church. And I went up and preached at his church, and that night probably had close to 300, 400 people on the altar after we preached. Now, you might not like the service they had there. It lasted for 4.5 hours. Some people came in about an hour and a half when the after the service started. The preacher reached over to me and said, "Don't pay attention to them. They're always a little late." I thought, a little late, hour and a half. But anyway, so here Paul, look back in verse 10, he's making a request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. So Paul's heart was right. And so he's asking God for a pleasant, for a prosperous journey. Now, as I said, most of us would think if we ask God for to make it possible for us to go somewhere, if God didn't just lay everything out for us, prepare everything for us, that we had no burdens, no tribulations, no trials, but everything just fell right in place, we would think it was not the will of God. But let's look a little bit at Paul's prosperous journey. Now, turn in your Bibles a moment, and by the way, he made it to Rome. But when he got there, he was in chains. That prosperous journey by the will of God. Let's look a little bit, if you would, in chapter 21 of Acts. Turn back. In chapter 21, after praying for a prosperous journey, verse number 11, "And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him in the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done." Now, notice this. They said, now, Paul, it was prophesied here against Paul that when he went up there, he was going to be arrested. So they tried to say, "Oh, Paul, don't go up there. We don't want to see you bound. We don't want to see you in chains." But Paul said, "No, that's not good. That's not what." He said, "I'm willing to die." He said, "I prayed for the will of God." Now, remember what he prayed. Now, he says, making requests, if by any means, now at length. What does "any means, now at length" mean? And he says, and so look, if you would, in verse 27 of chapter 21 of Acts. "And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up the people and laid hands on him, crying out, Men of Israel, help. This is a man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul, and they drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came from the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the chief captain and soldiers, they left beatings of Paul. And then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and demanded who he was and what he had done." Now, so here we find Paul headed on his prosperous journey. The prosperous journey in which he asked the Lord to take him on, we find it began with being beaten and put in chains by the Jews and false accusations and false witnesses. Now, look on. If you turn over in chapter 24, we're not going to get into this and read it right now, but in chapter 24, he was brought before Felix. And there he had to answer unto Felix. Then he had to go before Festus. Then in chapter 25, in verse number 10, we find that he made an appeal to Caesar. He says, "Then said Paul," verse number 10, chapter 25, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged to the Jews, have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. So there he appealed to Caesar. So they had to take him and deliver him to Caesar. And so then you know in chapter 26, he went before Agrippa. And then we find that he was sent to Rome in chains. Then you get to chapter 27 on this prosperous journey that Paul took. Then he was shipwrecked. And he was shipwrecked there on the sea. And then you get to chapter 28, and we're just skimming right now. We're going to come back over these in just a second. In chapter 28, knows he would in verse number 3. He landed on an island, Melita, and this island of Melita, he landed on in verse number 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Now, let me say this. We have some folks over in eastern Kentucky and Tennessee that has taken Mark chapter 16 literally to mean to their church that they want to teach and preach that you got to handle snakes to prove your faith in the services. But the truth being is what Jesus was describing there in Mark is things that the apostles would show that they signs that they were truly men of God. Before the word of God was completed, they would be able to work miracles and perform miracles. And not only that, they would be able to pick up a snake and it could bite them, a poisonous snake. And right here was a situation where that very thing happened. And Paul shook it off. And I noticed that TV show that they had over there in eastern Kentucky, that one of, I think it's Middlesboro, that the pastor got bit and he died. Well, that's a big difference between what happened when Paul got bit and when he got bit. Then his son took over and he got bit and they rushed him to the hospital. He decided not to live by faith but just go to the hospital and he barely lived himself. But what they don't understand is that was not for them. That is not for us. That was a sign of the apostles, the ones that would show that they had been with Jesus and they had the power Amen. To do things. And so Paul here demonstrated that. But remember, he still is on his prosperous journey. Man, what a journey. He asked God for a prosperous journey by the will of God with any means possible. And God's letting him go to Rome. In chains, been shipwrecked, and now he gets bit by a snake. Most of us would probably turn around and come back. Look on. Now, how in the world, turn back if you would to chapter 23. How can we say that this was a prosperous journey? After all these things befalling Paul, most of us will say, well, it's got to be the will of God for me not to do this. Because what we need to understand is that many times people say, well, I'm going to see and if this happens, then it's the will of God. If it doesn't happen, it's not the will of God. But sometimes his ways are not our ways. So here, Paul is going, he's prayed and asked God for a prosperous journey. Look if you would in chapter 23, in verse number 11. And the night falling, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. It was a prosperous journey for Paul because he was in the will of God in what he was doing. And it didn't matter what was going on around him. He was within the will of God and the Lord was with him. And so the Lord assured him in chapter 23, in verse number 11, he assured him that he would be through it all, with him through it all, and that as he preached at Jerusalem, he also wanted him to preach at Rome. and he get a chance to preach at Rome. So then you look on in chapter number 27. In chapter 27, we find that as they were getting on the ship, God had given Paul direction that they would have a shipwreck, and he tried to reveal that to them, but the centurion didn't believe him in verse number 11, chapter 27. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And of course, you know, those of you who've read, you know that they had a shipwreck that night. But I want you to understand that it was still a prosperous journey because God was still speaking to Paul. And even though he spoke to him and told him, listen, don't worry when you go before all these men, and don't worry, I'm going to have you preach at Rome. It's going to be a prosperous journey. And so therefore, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so there he was with Paul, and he was with him again as they were fixing to go in and face a shipwreck. Now, the centurion didn't believe him, but later on he did believe him. But then you find in chapter 27, verse 23, you find that an angel came of God to Paul. In verse 23, he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And so there, God sent an angel and told Paul, still prosperous journey. He's told Paul, he said, listen, you're not going to lose a soul here off this ship. Yes, there's going to be a wreck. Yes, you're going to be in the waters, but you're not going to lose a soul. And of course, then he took him up to the island. Now turn back just a few moments, if you would, in chapter 24. Now it was also a prosperous journey. In verse number 21, Paul got to stand before Felix and testify of the gospel. And not only did Felix get to hear the gospel, but many other people around him got to hear the gospel. I remember one night when I was working in EMS, I had a meeting in Frankfurt, and they were flying these people in. And we had several, we had a couple of representatives and senators that was going to be there, and there was about a big old table, big conference table, and there was about 30 that was supposed to be there. Well, the main bigwig that was supposed to be there got delayed in his flight. And it was going to be 2 hours before he was there. And we were all there at that meeting. And we were sitting at a table. And somewhere along the way, within just a few minutes, I mentioned something. I was talking to someone that I knew. And I mentioned something about the signs of the time that the Bible had predicted. And this guy from Washington, D.C., and this other one from California was there. And the one from Washington said, I've heard about things like this. Can you explain what you're talking about? And I said, sure, I can tell you. But I said, I'll share with you, but it'll take a little bit. He said, I really want to hear. And it ended up for 2 hours. And of course, he was one of the main ones that had got everybody together. And for 2 hours waiting on that other guy to get there, I got to take the word of God and break it down to all those folks and share with them not only the gospel of Christ, but also what God had predicted was going to happen to the world. And they sat there and you could hear a pin drop for 2 hours listening. And I thought, Lord, I thought when you said it was going to be a two-hour delay that it was going to be a problem, but you have opened the door to share the gospel. This was a prosperous journey for Paul because he got to stand before Felix and all the crowd that was there listening. Look, if you would, in chapter 24, in verse number 21. Except it be for one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lystra the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid him none of his acquaintance to minister or to come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned the righteousness, a temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. Paul got to witness to Felix and all the rest. It was a prosperous journey, because you don't know who that was listening may have heard the word of God. I shared with you the other day a letter I got some time back from a guy, and it was from prison. And I received the letter from prison, and I got it, and he said that he had come to the church here. And he'd sat in the church and heard me preach a message some 10 years ago. And he said, I got sent to prison. And he said, I sat there for 7 years. And he said, that message just kept going round and round in my mind. And he said, I surrendered and got saved because of that message that I heard in your church. And so listen, we never know when you might sow a seed, you might water a seed, and God will give an increase down the road. Paul was able to share before Felix and all of that. Also before Festus in chapter 24 and verse number 19. He says, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me, or else let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood. And then he begins to talk, and he begins to talk to Felix. And then later on, I believe Festus in verse chapter 25. I'm sorry, I was in chapter, wrong chapter. Then we find in chapter 26, he stood before Agrippa. And again, it was a prosperous meeting, a journey, because he was able to share the gospel and share his testimony of his salvation with King Agrippa in chapter 26, as you are familiar with. And he shares it in chapter 26. Then also, if you look in chapter 28 once more, after that he got bitten by a snake, the Bible says in verse number 7, that in the same quarters of chapter 28 were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. And when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laden us with such things as were necessary. So again, here Paul had prayed for a prosperous journey. To the outside eye, it doesn't look like very prosperous, being in chains, being in shipwreck, being snake bit. But then God used him to go over to this man's house. Then he went to his father and that was sick, and he healed him. Then they brought others that needed to be healed, and they healed them. And so when they left for their journey to Rome, they supplied them with supplies and for the journey, as only God could do. Then look, if you would, in chapter 28, the last two verses of chapter 28. It says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. This is after he got there, and received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus with all confidence, and no man forbidden. Now, so here he got to go, and he got to preach the house of Caesar. He got to share the gospel to the house of Caesar. For 2 years, he got to share the kingdom. Was it a prosperous journey? Why, absolutely. Look how much of the gospel he got to spread. Not only that, but look back just a moment. Also, the brethren at Rome. Look, if you would, in chapter 28 and verse number 15. in chapter 28, in verse number 15, it's talking about the brethren. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet with us. So the first thing the brethren there at Rome did was they were come and met with Paul, and he was able to encourage, and he was able to bestow upon them some of the gifts that he wanted to bestow. And last but not least, we need to understand that God had worked this journey out with him, and he had been with him the whole time. He was far ahead of him, knowing the end from the beginning. The point I want to make is this. Sometimes we ask God for his will to be done. And sometimes he causes a shipwreck in our lives. Any of you ever gone through a shipwreck? Any of you been in a shipwreck and wonder, ask God, why is this happening? Any of you ever went and found opposition? What if God chooses that I finish my journey on my back? What if God chooses that I finish my journey some other way? My point is this. When you're in the will of God, and that's the important thing, a prosperous journey, God has a way of working things out.
Amen.
He has a way of dealing with things. I remember this one guy. He came through here, and he asked me, he said, "Preacher, can I see you just a moment?" I said, "Yes." He said, I "don't know what to do." And he said, "I need you to tell me what to do." I said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "I was accused of something and had to go to court, and I was accused of something." He said, "My wife accused me of something," and he said, "What she accused me of, I did. But when I went to court, I was able to convince the judge that I didn't do it." And he said, "You know, I have been haunted ever since because of it." And he said, "I am saved, and I knew I shouldn't have done it." And he said, "I know for a fact I'm saved, but God will not let me rest and find any peace." He said, "I don't know what to do." And I quoted Psalm 66:18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God would not hear me." Also, Proverbs 28:13. You know, the Bible says there that those that, let me think how that goes. "Whosoever coveteth sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall find mercy." If you cover your sin, God will uncover it. But if you'll uncover your sin before God, he'll cover it. But what we need to remember, and I told him, I said, "What you need to do, I believe, if it's ever everything the way that you tell me it is, you'll never have peace until truth sets you free." And I said, "That would be my recommendation, is let truth stand." And he went back, and I didn't hear from him. And about 2 years later, I got a letter from him in prison. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I did just exactly what you told me to do." And he said, "They sent me to prison." He said, "I've never been more free and at peace in all my life than I am right now." He said, "Thank you, because the truth set me free." Folks, sometimes the journeys that God has for us, we will run into all kinds of issues. But when we're in the will of God, we just need to trust him. And he has ways of working those things out, because he never leaves us nor forsakes us.
Amen. So let's stand tonight and let's understand that we need to stay focused and learn some lessons from some things that Paul has taught us to do as we walk on this journey. And each one of us go through journeys. Each one of us will have times when we just wonder why God let certain things happen when he let them happen. I've had to stand over the caskets of babies. I've had to stand over the caskets of children. I've had to deal with issues that I have no answers for, that God alone knows. But I'm glad that he is the one that's directing our journey. And if we just trust him, regardless of what it looks like on the outside, we can have a prosperous journey. Amen. Amen. Let's sing, brother.